Hi, Newstalk's Ciara Kelly here. There is something about summer that makes you want to refresh your home. And for many of us, that starts with the kitchen. It's where the morning coffee happens, where family life gathers, where friends always seem to end up. And after years of wear and tear, it might be time to give it the attention it deserves. So if you're thinking about a new kitchen, Tile Style is well worth a visit because Tile Style doesn't just do tiles, they also design and supply beautiful kitchens, including the luxurious Porcelainosa kitchen collection. Think high quality, contemporary design, stunning finishes, clever storage, and a look that can completely transform your space. Their expert team can help you plan it all properly with advice and optional virtual design so you can see how your new kitchen will come together before making any big decisions. And with Tile Style Summer Sale now on, offering exceptional value across the store, it's a brilliant time to start planning with tiles and finishes to perfectly complement your new kitchen. So if your summer plans include creating a kitchen that feels genuine special, start with Tile Style. Visit the Tile Style showroom in Ballymount to see full kitchen displays and finishes up close, or explore more at tilestyle.ie.
Do you think more stuff would make you happy? More stuff to put in your house, on you or on your social media? Do you ever look at what you don't have and say, would having that make me happy? There's no doubt having stuff does make us happy, but for how long? And what stuff do the experts say will keep you happy? Let me explain.
Let me explain with Sean Defoe, a Newstalk original.
I'm Jamie O'Hara, filling in for Sean Defoe. To be clear, I'm talking about possessions beyond what you need to live comfortably. I like watches, so I'll look at watches online and say that would be nice. But I already have a watch I really like, so I close the expensive watch app and say better to spend that money doing up the kitchen. I like cars, so I'll see what exotic cars are on offer online before thinking, sure, the road tax on that alone would do up a kitchen. Anyway, the kitchen needs a bit of attention at some stage. John Kitchen skates up and down the boardwalk in Pacific Beach, San Diego in California every day. He skated by me in slow motion many times during the summer of 2012. The New York Times published a fascinating 16-minute documentary by Josh Eisenberg 2 years later, titled Slow-Mo, The Man Who Skated Right Off the Grid. And then 69-year-old Slow-Mo explains why he gave up a successful career as a doctor in this edited clip.
I was in the cafeteria line behind an old man who was all bent over and everything, and I'd asked him how old he was, and he said he was 93. And he was by himself, and he was kept getting one thing after another and putting a lot of food on his tray. I thought I would wise off to him a little bit. So I said, how does a strapping young man like me get to be an old codger like you? He looked at me and said, do what you want to. And at first I was thinking, this old man just made more sense to me than anything I'd ever heard in my life. I was lost in a rational world. For a good 20 years after that, I got married and had a son, and the marriage didn't work out, and we got divorced after about a year and two-thirds. I was hardworking, thinking only about material things, a 12-cylinder BMW, a Ferrari, an exotic animal farm. I lived in a mansion.
An accidental icon, John Kitchen got his chance to give it all up after noticing his vision wasn't as clear as it had been, to live modestly and skate every day. Hundreds turned up to skate the boardwalk with him on his 80th birthday in 2023, and he's still going at 82. Professor of Economics Emerita at the University of California, Berkeley, and author of Buddhist Economics, An Enlightened Approach to the Dismal Science, Claire Brown, has written about the subject of happiness and consumption. I asked her how strong the link is between having possessions and happiness.
It depends upon your worldview. You know, if you really believe that materialism and making a lot of income and having a lot of power is all you need, then you can actually be happy in spurts, but just not all the time. So it really depends upon the person's viewpoint and also how long they want to be happy. Do they want to be happy in spurts? But that, of course, brings you down. Or do you want to be happy most of the time in a not a burst of excitement, but just in a well, meaningful, balanced way?
And Claire, do you think it's hard for people to break the cycle of this stuff I can buy will make me happy?
Well, certainly it does in our society, because We have so much advertising, and we have all these influencers explaining to us, hey, you want to be happy? Buy this, or try this, or look at where you have to go on vacation. Or, you know, we're just bombarded by all these things that assure us we're going to be happy if we could only buy them and have them. And so it does make it hard to get off the treadmill of materialism. To do it, we actually can't do it by ourselves. We need to do it within our families and our friendships and how we live. It's not easy in our society.
I asked Claire to explain the concept of conspicuous consumption.
People are never going to be happy with what they have if they're always trying to show how important they are. And so conspicuous consumption actually is like status consumption. It's a way that especially rich people, you know, they measure their yachts in inches. Or I even went to a cocktail party once with some very wealthy entrepreneurs in the Silicon Valley. The men were standing around talking about their wine openers and how much they spent and how great they were. And I'm sitting there thinking, as an economist, it's hard to believe that that's important to them. But it was, and they were trying to actually one-up each other about how great their wine opener was. That's what we call status consumption, and it's not adding to the well-being of anyone. It's only a way of competing among the rich to show how important they are. It's not something that anybody should actually persist with very long. It's not helping society. It's actually not helping them. And it really invalidates this whole idea of having our resources used to help the general good or the social good, because we don't want people that are really wealthy sitting around talking about the last house they bought when there's so many people who don't have any houses at all.
Retail therapy is called that because, well, it makes us feel better. A student in Claire's class found a way to get the best out of it, though.
She said, every time I get paid every 2 weeks, I go shopping, and because I'm sort of down and out and I want to get happy again. But then after taking this class, I realized that when I went out and bought things, I wasn't that happy by the time I even got home because I'd spent my money. So she said, what I do now is I go shopping and I pick things up and I look at them. I enjoy them. I don't buy them unless I say, do I really need this? Usually the answer is no. I put it down. And then when I get home, I had fun shopping. I feel great that I haven't spent that much money. And life is actually much better for me, because otherwise I just have this stuff that I throw in the closet or put away and that's it. And then I feel down again. So I really thought that was a great example of thinking about buying stuff and buying things that actually we need versus things just to make us feel happy for an hour or two.
And finally, I had to ask the obvious question, what does make us happy?
The research tells us is basically we all are both self-caring and caring for others. One study says, you don't feel well, go help a neighbor. And then you actually feel much better about yourself and you're happier. It also tells us that people are constantly changing in their moods and how they're feeling. And so that's also, I said, wait a minute, you'll feel better in a bit. Also, in a bit, you might feel worse, but it's changing. You don't get stuck in a bad mood, and you can't get stuck in a good mood because we know it's going to change. So that you need to be fluid and flexible, and you definitely need to understand you do feel better when you help others. You do feel better or happier about yourself when you give to your community or go out and do some volunteer work. It's not going out and buying something that I probably don't need and will throw in the closet. But most of the world has way too much stuff. And there's even one of the goals of the UN is to stop overconsumption and to get people to not think so much about buying stuff as to think about sort of interacting better with friends, community, and family, and helping each other.
So a very quick look at some of what will make you happy. I'll never be able to fully explain the million and one ways you could be happy in this podcast, but maybe having stuff isn't one of them. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to subscribe. John Keogh is the series editor.